Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. During the prime spring season, you need wholesome, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, more active days and keep you on track for reaching your goals. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You're going to save time, you're going to eat well, and you're going to tackle everything on your to-do list. Too busy to cook this May? No problem. With Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping, the prepping, and all the cleaning up, too. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in about 2 minutes. So all you got to do is just heat and enjoy, then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. Factor offers delicious, flavor-packed options on the menu each week to fit a variety of lifestyles, from keto to calorie smart to vegan to veggie to protein plus. Prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians, each meal has all of the ingredients that you're going to need to feel satisfied all day long while meeting your goals. And if you're looking to mix it up, you can add a protein to select vegan plus veggie meals each week. But you gotta head to factormeals.com/Bubba40. Again, that's promo code Bubba40 to get 40% off your first box. That's code Bubba40 at factormeals.com/Bubba40 to get your 40% off your very first box. Factor.com, promo code Bubba40.
Hello. There the light goes. Welcome to the Anna Homel Show. Welcome to the weekend. Friday is always the best day. Everybody knows this. Friday is always the best day. And let me tell you why. Because the anticipation of the weekend is always better than the actual weekend, most of the time. Unless, you know, there's something spontaneous that happens that's exciting and fun. But for the most part, the anticipation of the weekend is the best part. You think you're going to get to projects you never will. You're going to read books you never do. But in your mind, you're just like, you have this perception of I'm sleeping in, but not too much. Going to catch up on the rest. I'm going to get things done. Wake up early. Be that person that you see, you know, at 8 a.m. when you're hungover taking a piss, and you look out your window for a brief moment, and you see that athletic, maybe it's a couple, and they're just like super, super chipper. I was leaving. I think it was Blitz's house. It's not the house that I am questionable about. It was obviously Blitz's house. I was leaving on Thursday morning. I was just trying to think of what day it was, but it was 5:30 in the morning, and there was a very chipper couple. I would say probably around my age, maybe a little bit older. Oh, Brian from Philly, $20 on the YouTubes, on the Super Chat. Thank you so much. I'll be periodically looking, but I don't want to just read chat, because if I'm reading chat, then I'm not thinking the thoughts myself that need to come out so that I could give you guys a good show. But I saw a very chipper couple at about 5:30 in the morning. And it seemed like they were ending the run, which means they started at 5, and it was 100% dark outside. And I was like, ew, that's disgusting. And as someone who loves health, fitness, nutrition, all those sorts of things so very much, even I go, no, no, thank you. I'm not a wake up and get it out of the way kind of person. It's weird because I know for most, Bright Farm Johns Island, $19.99 on the Super Chat. Thank you very much. Very much appreciate you. God bless. Early morning workouts. I mean, unless it's your only opportunity, and I'm not going to make the whole show about health, fitness, and whatnot. But you know what? Fuck it. There's a sports show. Why can't there be a health show? You know what I mean? But I don't like to just knock it out first thing in the morning. Because to me, I actually enjoy working out and I enjoy going to the gym and I enjoy doing the jujitsu, and to like knock it out feels like I'm disrespecting it. And again, if it's the only time you can work out, by all means, fucking do it. But for me, it's like something, sometimes it's the highlight of my day. I know that sounds insane, but the less I've been going to the gym, which I have been because I've been going to do the jujitsus. So I've been weight training less, which I don't like. And I've been doing less, let's say, regular cardio. Jujitsu is certainly, it's like HIIT training. It's pretty cardio intensive, but it's not like a run. You know, it's not like an elliptical. Not saying that those things are necessary for healthy heart activity. But to me, it's therapeutic. And if I'm barely awake and I haven't had my morning coffee, like I'm really not in the mindset to really reap the full benefits, mental benefits mostly, of working out. So yeah, I did the jujitsu in the morning one time at 6 a.m. because we had like a random Friday off. And I went and I was like, fuck this. No, thank you. No, thank you. It's too early. My body hasn't woken up yet. And yeah, you knock it out. But then it's just like, did you really enjoy it to the full capabilities that you could have had you waited a few hours? Now, again, I know everyone's schedule is different, so do what you can. But I look forward to doing that sort of stuff. So back to the weekend plans. You know, I'm going to try to knock out an early morning workout. Because tomorrow we're heading to Sarasota, and by me, I mean me and my spouse, Blitz, you guys know him, going to Sarasota to visit some friends, the newlyweds that just got married. Very interesting story about that. Met my friend, who is the male of the partners, in Michigan, and when he came to Sarasota, because he has a friend in Sarasota, and they've been friends far longer than he and I have been friends, and I met her a couple years ago, very nice woman, and they were just friends. They'd been friends. They went to like med school together and all that sort of stuff, and then he came back to visit, and he was living with her because she had just gotten out of some crazy breakup, and he was trying to get out of, he's from Toronto. I don't want to give too many details away, but he's from Toronto, and he decided to come to Florida to try to figure some things out, and he was kind of on an extended stay, but his visa was running out, and he was going to have to go back to Toronto to renew it, and I went to go visit him maybe like 2 months ago, 2.5, something like that. And he started telling me that, you know, he was starting to have feelings for the girl he was staying with, and he didn't quite know where he stood, and he didn't want to like push the relationship because of the visa thing. And he's like, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, much like the Crowder video, I go, "Well, I have to reserve judgment because I don't have enough information, and you don't have enough information, so you need to go get information." And he told me that every time he would try to talk about something with this woman, that she would just kind of shut it down, or, you know, it triggered her or something. And I go, "Well, fucking too bad. Like, you got to know some things that you don't know in order to make a decision about whether you're going to stay in the States or go back home, or, you know, just the nature of your future. It's not like you're trying to be a busybody, or you're trying to be a nuisance, or I think my grandma, my softa, would call it a nudnik, like someone who's just fucking annoying. I'm not trying to be a nudnik. You're just trying to get some information that's necessary for you to make your next move." And he goes, "Okay." And so I remember dropping him off at the house, and he texts me the next day, and he's like, "You know, I kind of pushed for more information." I'm like, "Great." And he's like, "Well, I think we're going to try this relationship deal out." I was like, "Awesome." And then maybe a week and a half later, maybe, he's like, we're getting married on Thursday. I'm like, what? Oh, my God. That is insane. You are getting married. And I think they've both kind of convinced themselves that this is like a, you know, a love marriage. And it is. But it's kind of like a love marriage with a caveat, which is we're getting married for love and citizenship visa purposes, which is, in my estimation, is really the only good reason to get married. I know you get some tax breaks and stuff like that, but you know, I've stated many times my thoughts on marriage, not a fan, and it's not really typical of a woman, especially a woman of my age, to be like, I don't like marriage. I don't see the point. But I guess I kind of have a lot of hot takes about things, and I try to really unravel my opinions on things depending on I try to remove myself from any sort of a emotional component of it. So, you know, I think marriage is good? And if you talk to somebody who's about my age, they may go, yeah, I want to, it just feels good and I want the pictures and da da da. Okay, but like what is really the point of the wedding and the marriage? And to me, it's pretty antithetical to a lot of things that I value. Things I value government not involved in my personal affairs. And also, I am not a religious person, as many of you know. So I don't see the point in trying to make God happy, I guess. I just don't care. So when you kind of combine those two things, you go, well, why? Why would you do that? And yes, the taxes and stuff like that. But that seems to be a very unromantic reason to do it. And it's kind of freeing also to not have that sort of landmark of, you know, I need to get married by this age and that. So I feel like I've spent probably the last 5 to 7 years of my life really unraveling what I should be doing, or what is it? What I want from what I think I should want, which I realize are two very different things, because when you ask someone what they want, and they may surface level just tell you, oh, I want to get married, I want kids, da da da. I want this job, I want to make this amount of money. And then you go, okay, but like, do you really? Or do you just think that, you know, everybody around you is kind of doing that, following that blueprint, and you feel like you should follow in suit because that is the right thing to do? So I've kind of tried to divorce myself from that way of thinking. So when I feel impulsive or pressure to do something, and something big, you know, like a child or marriage or something like that, you go, or even like buying a house, and you know, you look at your situation and you think, wow, my parents had a house and 3 kids and I got 2 cats that I don't even like that aren't even mine, and I live in an apartment or whatever the case may be. And you go, man, I'm just not hitting the landmarks. You know, when you are a baby, it seems like there's a week to week, and I'm not talking about in utero, but like when you come out of the puss, there seems to be like a week to week or a month to month set of landmarks that you typically start hitting between, you know, 6 and 8 months. You can bobble your head and, you know, tummy time and all that. So I really know very little about child development. I think most people do until they have a child and they have to start like paying attention, and the doctor tells them like, this is how you fucking feed a baby with your titty. Like, I don't think that that's necessarily, I don't want to say it's not intuitive, but there's certainly tricks of the trade that you must learn from at least a friend and maybe another woman or a medical practitioner. But you got to hit those landmarks. If you don't start talking at a certain age, the doctors go haywire. If you don't start, I don't know, making eye contact, or then the parents start to worry. But then probably around what? Maybe after puberty. You know, if you don't hit puberty, that's a problem. If you're 19, you haven't had a period, you got no tits, which I like have them, but they're just not big. So, you know, please leave the comments in the section to a minimum. But I think after puberty is when people just kind of lay off the gas instead in terms of landmarks. But then maybe the physical and biological landmarks are no longer as important, and then you start looking into like the social landmarks or the cultural landmarks of, you know, did you go to college? Do you have the job that you want? Are you making X amount of dollars by X age? Did you buy your house? Are you dating someone? Are you looking to get married? Are you looking to have kids? And those can put a lot, that can put a lot of pressure on any given person. So when you kind of realize that the pressure is really all, I mean, some families are worse than others, but a lot of it is just you putting pressure on yourself because you start to, you look around, you kind of do the math, you average everything out and you go, wow, it seems like everyone's kind of getting engaged at this age and I'm at home eating bonbons. Like this isn't good. What's wrong with me? You start to freak out, which is really counterproductive because the more that you freak out, the less you're able to get whatever you need to get done. If you start acting desperate, especially as a woman, say around age 30, you know, people could smell that. It doesn't smell good. It's putrid. And nobody wants to be around that. So you got to be careful. You got to be kind of at least seemingly unaffected to the public. Like, oh, I'm 36. This is fine. I'm single. It's fine. I wanted a family 5 years ago, but it's fine. Yeah. So anyways, back to the married couple. We're going to go, Blitz and I are going to go visit them as newlyweds, which is weird because last time I was there, you know, they were just friends. So it's really a great opportunity for me to go and put on my white lab coat, which is my favorite thing to do. I love getting intel. And I really do actually want to visit these people. But many times I've agreed to do social things with other people, not necessarily because I'm looking forward to the experience. Again, I am tomorrow. But oftentimes you go because you're like, I need to learn more. There's a lot of questions that are unanswered and I need to go and I need to put on the white lab coat and ask the right questions. And I practice my non-judgmental face, which is synonymous with my, it's a feigned curiosity. It's not feigned because I am curious and I do want to know the answer to the questions, but the best way to ask a question and not seem judgmental, even though it's coming from a very judgmental place, is the curiosity. Like you kind of like furrow your brow and you just like kind of so, and you also have to make that person feel like they are the most interesting person and you know you're fully engaged, which is funny because so many people are wrapped up in their own lives or even, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, and don't do this if you're around me because it pisses me off, just like be on your phone in social situation. Now, again, if you're like, hey, I'm texting so-and-so because they got lost and they're on their way, like, that's fine. But if you're at, like last year I went to a bridal brunch, I guess you could say. It was like a bridal shower slash brunch, but it was, like, very small. It was only five women, one of whom was getting married. So the five of us are all hanging out, and there's four of us that are like engaged. We're talking, we're yapping, we're fucking gossiping, we're just being like yenta bitches. And then there was just this one chick who shall remain unnamed. She's not really a friend of mine, but a friend of my friend. And she was just on her phone the whole time, like the entire time. And we were there probably for about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. It was at Oxford Exchange, probably one of my favorite brunches of all time, just because it was such a picturesque place. I loved it. It was the stuff of fairy tales. It's like the sister or cousin to the Peabody Library. I know a lot of you guys are not from the area, but you should be because Florida's awesome. Tampa's awesome. But the Peabody Library in St. Pete is stunning. And it's just essentially a restaurant in a library. Go figure. And there's just books everywhere. And the aesthetic is just nice. Like just a place where you just want to open up and learn. Like there's something to be said for atmosphere, and that place fucking has it. So Oxford Exchange is kind of like the Tampa version of that, and I would argue I like it even more. And when you have a spring brunch, it was probably just about a year ago, when you have a spring brunch and everyone's wearing floral dresses and you're in an atrium with like just the right amount of lighting and it's warm but not too hot, and the champagne is flowing. Like, it's just a fucking vibe, and it's a good vibe. So that was probably one of my favorite brunches, but I remember that it was five women, and on the end next to me was, we'll just call her Susie Q. Susie Q was sitting on the end, and she was just facing the phone, going. Not really contributing to the conversation. And again, that's okay for like a minute or two. Like, I get it. I think something was going on with her dog. But, you know, the whole 3 hours was just her on her phone, which is like just distracting. And then you like try to bring the person into the conversation because it's like awkward. But then when they don't seem to be they don't want to be brought in, and they want to bring you out of whatever you're talking about and into their world, it's fucking annoying. So not sure I was going with this. It's hard when you don't have someone to kind of like bring you back, be like, bitch, you were talking about this. But social interact. Oh, right. So you want to go to a place to get intel. Just you not being on your phone and engaging them with your face, like looking at them and giving them eye contact, you are already like better than 80% of the people they're going to talk to at that event, no doubt, because most people are disengaged. They're talking about themselves. So if you can fully engage them and give them eye contact and listen to them when they talk, not just not talk, but like really like listen and look inquisitive, that is monumental, because they're going to want to open up to you. And then secondly, get them talking about themselves. Everybody likes talking about that. So that's usually my favorite way to get intel from people, because I'm extremely curious about people, most people all the time. I think people are fascinating, and that's part of the reason why I studied what I did in college with anthropology. Can't really do anything with it as like a career, so like I wouldn't recommend, but I don't even know if I would recommend college. Like, I would recommend college if it wasn't so fucking expensive and left you with lifelong student loan debt. You know, if you can pay it outright, if mommy and dad are rich, by all means, go to fucking college, have a great time, it's super fun, you learn stuff, but like, whatever. To me, and again, everyone's experience is different, but I was very fortunate to go to an amazing public school in Vista, California, North County, San Diego. And we'll give props. Rancho Buena Vista did an excellent job. They had an excellent, what would you call it, advanced placement program, I guess, honors program. And it was so fucking rigorous. And they made it seem like college was going to be so fucking hard. And I remember teachers just being like, guess what? Next year, no one's going to be holding your hand through this. You got to learn the skills now. And instead of taking a class a day or two classes a day, you're taking seven classes a day, because you got six or seven periods and you got homework from, you know, all your classes every day. And so it was just a really rigorous program to prep you for college. So by the time I went to college, I was very lucky that I walked in as a sophomore, like with credits, because I took all the, you know, whatever IB, AP tests, and those count towards college credits. So I walked in and went to UCSB, University of Casual Sex and Beer, and really didn't engage in either of those two things, but that's neither here nor there. But I remember getting in and being like, this is fucking easy as shit. I can sleep in, A, I don't have classes on Thursdays, B, everyone in my class is actually R, so that's fantastic. I remember getting like an A+ in a class that I never went to, which was great, and I was very proud of that. And I would, I was kind of a dick, and still am, but I did have a roommate who would attend. It was like a site. I had finished all of my credits for everything, and I somehow missed a prerequisite, so I had to take psychology 101, which I thought would be interesting, and it like was marginally, but it's, you know, you're just learning basic, you know, this bias and this fallacy sort of stuff and whatever, you know, something that happens in your childhood can affect you in adulthood. Oh my God. And I never went to that class, not once. And I did have a roommate that did go. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to go to this class. You take notes. You take good notes. Can I just look at your notes? And she's like, yeah. She's like, you're not going to go? I'm like, no. No, thank you. And what was great was I had the textbook, I had her notes, and I remember they like posted all the grades and stuff, and I'm like, dude, I got a fucking 100%. And she like walked away with like an 83. She's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm like, man, this memory is a steel trap. And that's really all it was. It wasn't really, especially with school and being good at school. And I feel like I can kind of do both, but being good at school is really just being good at memorizing shit. Really, there's really not a lot of like reasoning, rational reasoning. And I feel like a lot of people who are really dumb when it comes to street smarts can excel in school tremendously. And so you kind of see the breakaway with people who maybe didn't do well in school. And a lot of times it's because they just didn't try or they weren't interested. And then a lot of those times, and I'm sure we've all heard that story where it's like, oh, CEO fucking dropped out of school. Da-da-da. It's like, okay, I get it. Those are kind of different things. Sometimes they hang together. Sometimes you can be studious and also street smart, business smart, but a lot of times they are very separated. And some of the least successful people I know did well in school because it was just kind of plug and play, you know, memorize this, take the test. Okay, I can do that. But then when you have to like think creatively and problem solve, I feel like oftentimes that's a very different part of the brain and not everyone has that skill. So anyways, back to my original thing, weekend plans. We're talking about psychology. We're getting crazy, folks. On Saturday, yeah, we're going to go visit this newlywed and I will have my white lab coat on in full effect because I find people fascinating. And I think I was listen to so many podcasts every day. It's ridiculous. But it's just, to me, it's just like the best way to get like little tidbits of information from all different sorts of arenas of everything from, what was I listening to yesterday? The Pentagon Papers leaking, to self-development shit, to jujitsu, to keto. And then it was like, keto's great. And then the next one I watched is like, keto fucking sucks and stupid. So I like, you know, really getting a breath of knowledge on any given day. So, I like to listen to a lot of podcasts. And again, I've now forgotten where I was going with that. But just, I like learning. Oh, yeah, I was listening to something like Lex. And he had a guest on that said that, like, there's no normal. There's, like, no typical person because our brains are so big and developed that there's essentially like an infinite amount of combinations that can lead you to become the person that you are. So your genetic makeup, your ingredients, and then you factor in your life experiences, which is everything from like how your parents are to where did you go to school, to your friends, to whatever. And then God forbid, like something tragic happens, like you lose your best friend or your mom gets shot by her dad or something like that. Then that fucks up the brain. And then like the outcome. So let's just say you as a fully grown adult, and that's not to say that you don't continue to change and develop, but for argument's sake, let's just say you become an adult at, I don't know, let's just say 21, 25, say, I think I heard something crazy like puberty lasts till 25. I don't know if that's true, but I heard it somewhere. So let's just say 25. Like the hardware with the software, there's just like an infinite amount of combinations. So even though a lot of people, everyone is alike, obviously, in some regard, because genetically we're like 99.9% identical to each other. You know, most of us have two arms, two legs, a brain. Some work better than others. We all experience emotions like fear and jealousy and sadness, happiness. Like we're all familiar with that. But your makeup and how you process things and your anxiety and how smart you are, like there's so much variability that I find it fascinating. So I like to look at each person, not that just as a, you know, someone who's annoying me or someone that you don't want to talk to at a dinner party, but I really try to like study you, especially if there's something interesting about you, like you did something offbeat or off-colored. Like, how did you get to that? How did you become successful? How did you become so fucking weird? How did you, you know, like Jay, for example, when I'm like, you don't have cravings? He's like, no, I don't really get hungry very much. I'm like, that's odd. How did that come to be? Because I feel like most people have cravings. Most people are a slave to their cravings, whether they be food or any sort of other addiction, maybe caffeine. I don't know. But for you to just like not crave food like that, I'm like, you're lying or something's wrong with you and I need to find out what it is. And that's when I get my squinters on and I just try to figure you out because in my mind, like the math didn't work out. If the math does, if I like get to know you and I am friends with you or acquaintances with you and you aren't what I expected in terms of everything I know about you. I'm trying to think of an example off the cuff about something, but I feel like I'm drawing a blank because I'm on the spot. But if something isn't, if you're just like you come from I hate to use like a racial example, but if you come from like the hood and you know primarily like black neighborhood and you were raised in a certain way and you were exposed to certain things and then you become a vegan, like what? How do we get here? That didn't make sense, but everybody your culture likes, and this isn't a racist thing, everyone shut the fuck up. It's a cultural thing. I like matzo ball soup. I grew up eating it. You know, if you're black, maybe you like fried chicken. I don't understand how that's like a racist thing. If you're Chinese, you like fucking Chinese food. That's okay. So when I meet people who are like Asian or they're black and they are vegan, like I'm like, whoa, that's unusual. How did we get here? How did you get all the things where this was such a big part of your culture, eating ribs or barbecue or chicken, and then you are now an anomaly. You didn't fit into the mold that I thought you would. That's not to say that I'm discriminating against you. I'm now curious, even more curious about you. How did you get to that point of being a vegan or you're a black guy and you love country music? It's just a little offbeat, and I'm curious. It makes me like you more, because then I'm like, wow, you probably got a lot of heat for that, for being a vegan. They're like, oh, you fucking pussy. And also, like, how did you get that exposure? How did you even know that that was an option? So that sort of thing, I think that's probably the best example I can come up with off the cuff. But those sorts of things make you an interesting person. And I would like to learn more about you and how you came to that conclusion. And that's usually when I put on the white lab coat and start taking notes, start getting intel, because I cannot be part of the CIA because A, I'm too old, and B, I'm too famous, unfortunately. No, but seriously, like they probably want you to keep more of a low profile. They probably don't want someone who's been on the air saying that the CIA is a piece of shit and they lie about a lot of stuff and they drugged us in the 50s to the 70s with, you know, MKUltra and a few other things. Operation, what was it? Midnight, something like that. They were giving acid to Johns and brothels. So, you know, when stuff like that happens and you start talking shit, you probably shouldn't talk shit about an agency that you may want to join. And also, I'm a pussy and I'm a horrible liar and I would start sweating. And if I was trying to be undercover, I would probably be the worst ever. Cuzzo. Let's take a few calls because I've rambled now for an impressive, 25 minutes. Hello, who's this?
Anna.
What's up?
It's Brian from Philly.
I knew who it was.
In a second. I'm going to lose reception, unfortunately.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of college, I think it depends on your major. I'm all for college, but if you have a bullshit major like psychology, you're not going to get anything with a bachelor's degree. I went for electrical engineering. I had the job before I graduated. My friends were business majors, psychology majors.
I lost you. And I appreciate you prefacing. You can call back, Brian, when you get better reception. I knew where you're going with that. And yes, that is true. Like if you're doing, sometimes you have to go to college if you want to become a doctor and you have to get that bachelor's to get into med school, or you want to get the bachelor's, so you have to go. I don't even know if you have to get a bachelor's to go to law school. You just have to get into law school. But you probably can't get into law school unless you got your bachelor's. So I understand some things you have to get the certifications. You got to get them papers. I get it. Psychology is I don't want to say it's useless. I hate saying education is useless because here's the thing. Like, education comes in lots of forms. Some of it is going to school, getting a formal education. Some of it is self-taught, where you decide to dive into books, podcasts, reading articles online. So the thing is, I'm not saying that it's useless. I'm saying, is it worth the cost of, you know, being $100,000, $200,000 in debt and now you have an art history degree? College is very fun, though. College is very fun. At least where I went to school, I did meet people who went to shitty colleges. Not shitty in the sense of they weren't prestigious, but shitty in the sense of, you know, they were commuter school. Being from San Diego, I had a lot of friends that went to UC San Diego, which is a highly prestigious school. A lot of great research comes out of there. Beautiful campus, right on the water. I believe it's in La Jolla, technically, Torrey Pines, La Jolla, let's say. Very close to the water, close to the aquarium, great hospital nearby. I don't know if it's attached to Scripps, but close by. Fantastic. But it was a commuter school and it was boring as hell. And all of my smarter, cooler, not cooler, certainly not cooler, but let's just say friends that had better grades or they were more ethnic or whatever reason they got into UC San Diego, which was more competitive than UC Santa Barbara, they were always fucking trying to visit me. So I'm like, who really won here is what I would like to know. But it was... certainly not the same as maybe a place like Florida State. Here, Florida State's a great place to have a good time. Or Arizona State University, ASU, has a reputation for being a lot of fun. But those two schools didn't have what I have when I went to UC Santa Barbara. And that's a cool-ass place to live. Santa Barbara is on the fucking water. The school is on the beach. You don't have that at ASU, and you certainly don't have that in Tallahassee with Florida State University. So, you know, it was probably a great party environment. But then if you take a party environment and then you combine like an awesome, like awesome real estate or geographic real estate, it's unbeatable. There's just nothing. The fact that I was living, you know, like a rat packed into an apartment with like seven other girls. But we were living on the fucking cliffs, like on the cliffs. We were on the cliffs so much so that like one of our neighbors died because he like got drunk and tried to like run away from a taxi because they didn't have an Uber back then. But it was just like, oh, shit, tried to hop the fence. Well, the hopping the fence ended up, you know, ending in a 100, 200 foot fall on the rocks. It didn't end well. So and it was like right before graduation. It was like days before, you know. It's like, and I think Anthony Jeselnik has like a really dark joke about the Boston Marathon bombing, and apparently it happened. I don't really remember too many of the details about like where in the marathon it happened, but I believe it was towards the end, like the finish line. And he has like this bit. It's not like so funny, but it's kind of dark and a little funny. He's like, you couldn't have bombed him like at the beginning of the race. Like they had to run fucking 26.2 miles, and then you decide to kill them. Like, that seems rude. It was the same kind of thing when this kid died, like, right before graduation. It's like, man, maybe it would have been better if he went in as a freshman instead of working his ass off for 4 years only to die literally the week before graduation. It just seemed rude. But yeah, I definitely value education. And it was certainly thrust upon me by my family. There was no option not to go to college in my family. It wasn't like, oh, are you going to go to college? No one even asked me that. My grandparents didn't ask me that. My parents didn't ask me that. It was simply, which college will you be attending is the question, not if you're going to college. That was not an option. Both my parents were college educated, and... You know, in their defense, the boomers, they didn't know what was coming. They didn't know that a college degree would become useless because when they were growing up, coming up in the 70s and let's say 80s, but mostly 70s, a college degree was useful and meant something, and you could get a degree and then get a job that paid actual money, and you could survive, I guess, on a one-income house, or, you know, a one-income household where only one person was going to work and mom could stay home and take care of the kids, and you were able to buy a house for, I don't even remember, 60 grand or something, you know, something that seems unfathomable in this market, in this day and age. But that was their blueprint. So they told us, hey, if you want to be successful, you got to go to college. And then I went to college, and then I worked, you know, at a gym, and I had friends who got their MBA, and with the 2008 crash, maybe they got a job, and then they were laid off 1 month later. My generation, especially like my year of kids who graduated in 2009, really got the short end of the stick because we entered the workforce just as people were getting laid off. So, you know, who are you going to fire? The person that's been there for 10 years that knows what they're doing, or the person that just started like a month ago? So, I mean, there's an argument that you could keep the person who's been staying a month because they'll work for less. But more.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Likely than not, my generation kind of got shafted. We had nothing saved up. And I think it was something crazy like millennials around my age. I think it was like 80% of them after college moved back home, which I did for, now I wouldn't say a brief amount of time, but for an amount of time before I went traveling. And then when I came back, I lived with my parents for a year and a half. So, and that was just kind of expected. That was what we did because we're like, oh, the, you know, it was kind of like the pandemic excuse where it's like, oh, I can't get a job, the pandemic. It was a similar sort of thing around people my age where it's like, oh, I can't get a job because fucking, you know, the 08, the recession. It was like the recession. So a lot of people went back to school, me being one of them. And I'm like, let me get more education under my belt to not use and come to Florida and tell dick jokes, which I did not need a graduate degree for. But, you know, you live and you learn. It's one of... I wouldn't even call it a mistake, because had I not decided to get a graduate degree, I would not have moved to Michigan. I would not have moved to Detroit. And I would not have hated my life. And I would not have then been so, I wouldn't say miserable, but so bored that I decided to try something completely out of the ordinary. And that thing was radio. So grateful that it led me to here, to talking to you guys. I certainly don't believe everything happens for a reason in the ethereal God has a plan sense. I mean, things happen for a reason. You know, you went to grad school because you felt pressure, not because God had a plan for you. At least, again, that's my estimation. Believe what you may. But I definitely think that education is important, but it doesn't necessarily have to come from college. It doesn't necessarily have to come from a teacher. You could be self-taught. I think it's great to teach people how to learn themselves, how to teach themselves. You know, you don't want to just give a man a fish. You teach him how to fish, and then he can fish for the rest of his life. But that's not very profitable when you teach people how to do things for themselves. So I also understand, as part of the scam, that they want you to go to these schools that become more and more like resorts. You don't need an Olympic-style pool. You don't need a lazy river. You need to go to math class, ho. You need to go to physics, and you need to go to econ and learn that shit. But, you know, the colleges and the universities keep getting more money, and each person thinks they need to get a college degree to be successful, and it keeps driving up the prices, and they're in bed with the government, yada yada. So it just becomes a huge mess, and then people like me are forever beholden to being in debt. We're never going to get out of it. And to be honest with you, I feel like I probably should be more concerned than I am, because I just don't care. What am I going to do? I don't have $200,000, or I think it's actually close to $100,000 in student debt. Well, what am I going to do? I can't pay it, so I'm not going to freak out about it. And although it is crippling in a lot of ways, it is comforting to know that many, 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 many other people are in the same situation. So, you know, as in my calculation, we can't all be fucked. We can't all fail, right? And I'm just hoping that, you know, even if I have to hold on to this debt forever, it'll just die with me. So that's the goal. That's the American dream, is that your debt dies with you. All right, let's take some calls. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Anna. Good morning. I love the show, Anna, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Who's this? Who do I have the pleasure of
speaking? My name is Alfredo.
Alfredo. Anna, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you know, like Alfredo sauce?
Yeah, yeah, I was just about to ask, like the creamy, delicious sauce. Okay, Alfredo, what's up?
Right. So, listen, so the reason I wanted to talk to you is because I've been meaning to call you for a while, is because when you started talking about fasting, if I may change the subject a little bit.
Yeah.
When you started talking about fasting, I was so happy for you, because fasting really is the way to go when it comes to health.
Right.
And to lose weight.
Yeah.
So, real quick, you know how I found about fasting was because about 5 years ago, I was on Netflix, and I searched for fasting. And there was this show, I don't remember exactly the name, and there was this UC professor
that was
studying fasting on mice. And he found, so he had 20 mice. 10 mice, he put them under, they were fasting, and the 10 mice, he gave them as much food as they wanted to eat.
Right.
And then the all 20 mice, he gave them what is the drug, Anna, that they take for when you have cancer, to cure you from cancer? What's it called?
Oh, chemotherapy or?
Chemotherapy, yeah.
Okay.
So he put all 20 mice, yes, he put all 20 mice in chemotherapy. And all the 10 mice that were fasting, they all survived. And the 10 mice that ate whatever the hell they wanted, they all died.
Mm.
So it's a big study that the professor made,
mm-hmm.
and showing the benefits of fasting.
Was that when you were convinced that you wanted to try it for yourself, or
yeah,
or was there more? Yeah, okay,
definitely. And I've been fasting for a couple of years now, and I can tell you that, you know, it's better when you don't eat in the mornings.
Yeah,
because you're
same.
Alert.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're not sleepy, because you don't have food coma, and because your body simply is not making insulin.
Yes.
That really is
Yeah.
What makes you sleepy and drowsy and lazy is
yeah.
insulin.
Yeah. The crashes is, I think, what you're referring. Yeah, because you get a big spike. Maybe you get a boost of energy when you have, you know, the pancakes in the morning, but 45 minutes later, you're fucking struggling to stay awake.
And it's because your body's making insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I want to say. I mean, it's very important, and I'm glad that you're bringing it up to Bava Army's audience so that way that they're aware of the benefits of fasting.
Yes, yeah. And my favorite thing about fasting, Alfredo, is, because I'm Jewish, is that it's free. You know, you don't have to buy anything. You just have, it's literally just do less. Do less. Do less.
That's another thing. It's incredible when you find yourself saving money because you're simply not eating breakfast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
On average, because, you know, I'm a professional, so I work every day. Well, I slept for weekends, you know. Sometimes in the old days, my favorite meals were like pancakes or toast.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And then I was spending about $10, $15 for breakfast. And then can you imagine when you add that up? Okay, I mean, it adds up. All the savings add up, you know. So
absolutely.
So, yeah, and then I realized, wait a minute, all this sugar is killing my body slowly but surely, you know. So, sugar really is.
Sugar's the devil, yeah.
The devil, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. yeah, excess refined sugar is no good, no good.
Yeah, to me, sugar is worse than alcohol.
I agree. And the thing about alcohol, at least it has a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, you're like, we were making fun of Lummi today, going, oh, you're an alcoholic, that's not good. But for people who eat, you know, donuts every day or, you know, eat sugar, oh, go to man. McDonald's, like no one is saying like, you're a bad person. Like, what a vice. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, it's quick, it's easy. You know, there's not the same stigma. And what I'm saying is we need to be harder on these people. We need to be more judgmental and less forgiving and say, you got a problem. You're an addict. So, yeah.
But what do you do? I know, but what do you do when a mother things that sugar, you know, gives sugar to the kids. Huh?
Yeah, I'm a big, as someone who's not a mother and not a doctor, I got a lot of opinions on things. And one of them is if I had children, I would not be giving them children's food. They should eat, granted, after they can eat, you know, solid food. You know, don't give
But Anna, will you give your kids Anna's world famous cupcakes?
No, occasionally. Listen, I'm not trying to abuse my kids by never letting them try cake. I mean, that's rude. But as far as like, if we were to sit down as a family and have dinner, I wouldn't be making the kids mac and cheese, you know, Kraft mac and cheese while I ate vegetables with salmon or what. Not that I even eat fish, but like whatever, eggs and salmon and fish and veggies, things that are considered healthy, whole foods. I wouldn't be giving my kid grilled cheese with a side of mac and cheese and a Pop-Tart. Like, and it's that's for kids. It's like, well, no, we're all humans and that's bad for all humans. So let's not give a developing mind a bunch of Pop-Tarts and sugary cereals like Fruit Loops. That's not good for them. And also, as a parent, when you give your kid a lot of sugar, apparently they get kind of crazy. So I think it's probably, you know, and I know that ADHD and stuff is overdiagnosed. And some of that is just being a kid, I think, having high energy. But I don't think that a high sugar, high processed food diet is helping kids focus and be more subdued and attentive. That's probably not helping.
That's bad, Anna, if I may interrupt, another thing that is the carbs. Carbs. A lot of carbs is not good because they turn into sugars.
They sure do. And sugar's the devil. Yeah.
Hey, quick question. Diablo. How's your boy Blitz?
Blitz is doing great. Thank you guys so much for asking about him. He's doing really well. You know, he's just kind of on a different path now, doing things. I was very sad to see him go. I know a lot of people were. But he's doing great, and he's around. He's on Instagram, so, you know, reach out to him. I think it's like Blitz K. I'm not on the gram anymore, but
I think, you know, as much as I hate to see him go, I think you guys made the right decision because, you know, eventually Bubba's going to retire, and you guys are young. So
you're saying it's best that Blitz got out while he still could because this is a sinking ship? Is that what you're saying?
No,
Oh, no! Mayday! So,
no,
I'm kidding.
No, No, Bubba's going to be around for a while, but, you know, eventually he's going to retire.
He's going to take a lick, yeah. What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know if he's going to take a lick, but he's going to...
Oh, he's going to take a lick. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I hope he doesn't take a lick for a long, long, long time. And
same here.
He's doing great.
I'm one of the few people that pay for the show, Anna.
Yes. God bless you.
That's one way that I support the show.
Thank you. Hey, anyway. Alfredo, I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in. And confirming everything, you know, that I've been talking about, because fasting is the way to go. It is.
Yeah.
It's no way around it.
Have a good one, Anna.
All right. You too, Alfredo. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye. Bye-bye. I do not want to interrupt Alfredo by saying that Brian from Philly, another $10 on the Super Chat. Thank you so much. I wonder if one of these is Brian from Philly. Let's take this one. Hello. Who's this? Hi.
Hey. Hey, it's South Tampa. I was going to talk about fasting too, but Alfredo stole my thunder. But,
yeah.
It's been life changing for me. It's just made things actually kind of easier. I don't really think about
it's more convenient when you don't have to plan as much.
Yeah.
For
and
food.
I travel for work and stuff, and knowing that, you know, you have to just be conscious. You have to like think about it a little bit, but I have to think about what I'm going to wear tomorrow too.
Sure.
Like the end of the world. Hopefully your friend who's from Toronto is not a Leafs fan.
A Leafs. I believe he is. He's big a Raptor fan, right? That's the basketball team.
Fuck about the NBA. I mean, are you serious?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. Is it a shitty team? I don't know anything about it.
The Raptors used to play, actually played a season down here because, you know, Canada had ridiculous COVID rules.
I see.
Oxford Exchange, as you mentioned, idyllic. I hate going there. I hate brunch, but it is absolutely, when I get there, it's kind of like taking me to a play. I like fight it, and then I get there, and I'm like, that was not that bad. That was pretty cool.
Did you maybe even enjoy it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a breakfast guy.
But you do brunch. You do brunch around lunch. But
I don't like brunch. But,
I get it. It's mostly a chick thing. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely miss Blitz, and certainly thanks for the help with the fasting.
My pleasure. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I know. I hate to kind of adopt the same model as, you know, a prisoner that's gotten out and now has accepted Jesus and wants to spread the gospel. But that's really how I feel, is this has worked so incredibly well for me. It's so effective and it works so quickly and reverses a lot of problems very quickly that I was like, the people need to know that it's just stop eating. Just stop doing it for a few more hours and you're going to feel so much better.
So. Well, I talk to people about saving for retirement, and that's like one of those things as well, like where, you know, like if you go to your doctor and they say like, oh, you just need to eat less, right? Well, you just need to save more for retirement. Like, well, but how do you get there?
Right.
How do you do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's really simple. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So it is, but it's getting in the habit of it. And once you get in the habit of it, you don't get to like Thursday morning, I would guess, and say, oh, my God, I haven't brushed my teeth all week.
Right.
Same situation with this. So
yeah,
we definitely need a Bubba Army fasting team t-shirt.
I know, a support group. And it's funny. Yeah. Go ahead.
As soon as if he did it, he would be, like full on, he would be all about it. Cause it's easy, but with his mix in of, his 2-4-6 and all that. And it's a horrible schedule that you have to do working mornings. So
and especially for Bubba, like Bubba wakes up at 2:50. I'm not waking up at 2:50. I have to be here at 6. I'm getting up today. I was out of bed at like 5:15, 5:20. But as you could tell, I really don't, you know, spend a lot of time on the appearance and the clothes and stuff. So I am literally out the door in 15 minutes. So
yeah,
more sleep. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yep.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well. Appreciate you. And he made a really good point about like people telling you like what you should do, but they don't really kind of like walk you through. Hey, Mike Terry, am I saying that? $5 on the Super Chat, 100% correct, Donna. Only offer your kids good, healthy foods. They know no different. My kids absolutely enjoy everything healthy. That is the way to go. You know, and it's one of those things where if you don't present it as an option, like you're not like, hey, would you like grilled cheese on white bread or fish and veggies? If you give them the option, they'll probably always want, you know, the mac and cheese, the processed shit. But if you just go, this is what we're having for dinner, learn to love it, kiddo. I think you'll probably have a lot more success. But again, this is coming from someone who's not a parent, not a doctor, so, and not a nutritionist, really. I'm really not anything at all. I have the highest degree I have is a bachelor's in physical anthropology. So take it for what it is. But what's great about fasting, you know, when you go on like a standard diet where it's like, you know, reduce your calories from 2000, let's say 2500 to 2000 or 1700. That sucks because I feel like you're just like white knuckle gripping it. Like you're hungry, you're fighting all these unpleasant feelings and you're like, you feel like you're never full. But what I would tell people with fasting, like before I would even tell them, you know, to eat cleaner is, listen, you can eat everything that you want. Eat exactly the same things that you're eating, but just close that window. Like, I'm not telling you not to do something. I'm telling you to just hold off a little bit longer. What you'll see is you'll actually just, there's a few things that come into play, one being insulin. So you're having less crashes, so you're more alert, which is nice. And then when you have that drop in insulin, what do you do when you're crashing? You reach for a cookie or a soda or something to get energized again. And then it's just this, you know, unfortunate cycle of ups and downs and ups and downs. But if you can kind of stabilize your insulin levels, A, you're going to be less hungry because you're not going to be crashing, and you'll have more energy because you won't be having those drops. But also when you kind of just put off food until a smaller window is that you will inevitably eat less because it's very hard to eat such a huge volume. If you were to condense everything that you eat from breakfast and all the and lunch, dinner, and all the snacks in between and condense it into one meal, you're probably not going to be able to consume all of that because your stomach shrinks and you're going to get fuller a lot faster. So it kind of works. It's a triple-edged sword, as Bubba would say. So on one flank, you're getting, you're not getting the bad effects of insulin spikes and drops because insulin is a hormone that tells the body to store fat, store energy. So when you have a lot of insulin coursing through the body, you're really not burning any fat in that state. So that's number one. Number two, you're not having those drops, and in those drops, you might find yourself, you know, doing different behaviors like grabbing the cookie or the soda. And then thirdly, because you're fasting and the stomach kind of shrinks, you're not going to be able to eat quite as much when you do have your one meal or two meals within a 3 to 4 hour period. You're not going to be able to consume as much. So you're just going to be, you know, the calories in, calories out deal. So you're really hitting it from all angles, from the hormonal angle, from the caloric deficit angle. And also you're just going to be fucking less bloated, dude. Like, that's the best. Because I know that when I first started working here, I was bloated all the time because I was having breakfast at 4:30 in the morning, you know, and then I have a snack because I get tired, and I was having lunch around noon, 1, and then I was having dinner around 6:37, and it was just with snacks in between, and it was just getting ridiculous. And I was always hungry all the time because I was always having these fucking insulin crashes. So when intermittent fasting walked into my life, you know, even though it had been around for a long time, I was like, wow, this is just, A, it's a lot easier because I have to plan less. B, I'm less bloated. C, I have more energy. I'm like, there's really no downside. Maybe you're just, the adjustment is a little difficult at first. I'm not going to lie to you. You might be hungry because that's fucking normal, but you just got to kind of retrain the body to not be triggered by, oh, like I would literally wake up, even if I was stuffed from the night before, wake up, look at the fridge and get hungry. Cause like the fridge was like a cue to eat, and now it's not. Now it's like, okay, I could look at the fridge, whatever, and I'm not hungry. Whereas before it was, cause it was like, oh, it's morning, fridge, time to eat. You know, that sort of cue was setting off a signal to my brain to say it's time to take in some food, but you go, hey, bitch, hold off, you're fine. So now I feel like I exercise less. Obviously, I eat less frequently. I probably eat less volume. And the weight, you know, not that I had that much weight to lose. I didn't. I was never fat, but I'm just saying, you know, I like to have a sleaner, leaner look and a slimmer, leaner look. And I just feel like I kind of was not going in that direction when I first started working here. So now everything's good. We can talk about fasting all day. I'd love that. But I did kind of probably should be heading out soon. I do have, I got a cake to bake for my girlfriend. You know, we talk about fasting, eating healthy and all this bullshit, but I do love baking and got to bake a cake. So I do need to kind of run home because we got a little get together. Hopefully she's not listening because this cake was supposed to be a surprise. So we'll see. It was funny because I saw this chick, she's my best friend, on Sunday for brunch, and you know, we're all drunk and one of the girls proposes, like, her birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday, girlfriend. I don't know if you want people to know your name, but happy belated birthday. And one of the girls was like, let's get together at your house, because she just bought a house with her husband. Let's get together at your house on Friday. And I was, you know, drunk, like, I'll bake you a cake. I'm like, what do you want? You know, thinking, I gave her two options. I said, you want vanilla? You want chocolate? You know, or if there's something else that is a pre-made cake mix, you like lemon, that's fine. Same plug and play. And this bitch had the audacity to say marble. She likes marble cake. I go, you got to be fucking with me right now. Now you're making me dance, do all these fucking dances. Now I have to get two cake mixes and fuck you. But we're making a marble cake. Figured it out. I found some cocoa powder in my pantry. So I realized, it was like, it occurred to me the next day I didn't have to buy a second cake mix box. I could just separate the batter and then put cocoa mix in one and then fucking do the thing with the stuff, and we're rolling. It's good times. So yeah, that is the plan for today, which I'm very excited about because I love little get-togethers with my friends. You know, I never used to really value that sort of thing when I was a bit younger, because I was like, I need to be on drugs or drunk or at a concert or something big. If it wasn't super highly stimulating, I wasn't interested, or I didn't really like look forward to it. And that's one of the many gifts that Michigan gave me, Detroit living gave me, especially during the wintertime, was, well, obviously the biggest thing was radio, but the second thing was appreciating the little things. You know, when you're used to going to clubs and doing Molly all the time and going to Vegas, and I was doing a lot of fun stuff, you know, around the age of 24, 25, that's probably my biggest party years, and college, so, you know, 18 to 22, but, and also Australia. Basically, for 7 years, I was a drunk, drug-addled maniac, but when I went to Michigan, I couldn't leave the house many times because there was a lot of snow and it wasn't safe to drive, and there's something about really cold weather that doesn't make you want to shake your ass. You're just like, I need to hibernate. So if I were able to get out of the house during the winter months and I could just meet a friend for coffee, like, that was such a huge deal to me. And I started to realize that, hey, this is really awesome. I don't need to go to a club and get ready and spend, you know, $40 to $60 on drinks to have a good time. I could literally find myself at the neighborhood coffee shop with a friend drinking, you know, a $1.25, let's be real, a $2.75 cup of coffee, and have a more enriching experience where I was sitting there for maybe 3 or 4 hours just talking to a friend about, you know me, I like to get deep. I don't like to, you know, you gossip and you talk about the light stuff, the weather, but with me, especially with the people I was rolling around with at that time, the people in my cohort, we were really discussing, you know, when you start studying sex, mating, and dating, it becomes like all encompassing. Like, everything you start talking, you start throwing out theories, and maybe it is the case that, like, why would a really good looking man go for someone who was a haggard old bitch? Like, why would that be? That what is that? What is that? What is that tickling? What psychological mechanism is that tickling? That is the anomaly. Kind of circling back to what I was talking about before, when it doesn't add up. You know, you're from the hood. How are you a vegan? How did we come here? Doesn't add up. I need to learn more. Same sort of thing where, you know, we would sit at the coffee shop, say, and I remember one time there was, I don't know why they were in Rochester Hills, Michigan, but it was during summertime, I think. This guy rolls up, short as shit, nice car. I couldn't tell you what the fuck it was because I don't know cars, but let's just say it was like a Porsche or a Ferrari or something. And out on the other side of the car pops a really hot young chick with huge tits. And you go, that makes sense. Like, he's older, he's balding, he's short, he's rich, he's got this car, obviously, and he's got a hot chick. That makes sense. Case closed, no further questions. And then you'll see something that you're just like, what? Where maybe you see a good-looking guy, maybe in his 30s, and he's with a chick who is gross. And your brain, and especially someone who was studying this sort of stuff at the time, you notice it, you take notes, and then on the next coffee date, and a date doesn't necessarily mean a date, but the next coffee meeting I had with someone from my cohort just to meet up and chat, this was the sort of stuff that would get brought up. Why is it the case that this would happen? Everything in our evolutionary record is telling us that this is not how men are wired, or this is not how women are wired. Why is she going for someone who is, you know, drunk, broke, ugly? I mean, but then you go, okay, maybe she was abused and that's all she knows and that's what she thinks she deserves. But then especially like with men who have options, I feel like, you know, they talk about no one has more power than like a young, pretty girl. It's like, yeah, but the shelf life is so small that I would say the people who yield the most power over time is like an attractive, successful, smart man. Like those, I think, are far more rare than just like a pretty girl. Because, you know, girls can be pretty when they're young, and obviously with makeup and a push-up bra, you can accomplish, and some titties, you can accomplish a lot as a young person. But, you know, around the age, and I'm not saying that as soon as you're 30, you're useless, but, you know, let's just talk about this in biological evolutionary terms. But, you know, the sexual market value of a woman goes down fast, you know, because the guy who's my age, who's 35, going to be 36, and if he's tall, good looking, smart, and is making money, he's not going to want someone who's my age. He's going to want, you know, the 21-year-old who's super hot in her prime sort of a deal. So, and that lasts a lot longer. So, you know, a guy who's even in his 20s, if he's making money, to a guy in his 50s or 60s making money, like he's going to be pulling really hot chicks. And it seems like men, as they grow older, oftentimes, the more successful they become, the more success they have with women. That's just kind of the nature of the game. So I would say that those men are far more rare than just like a hot chick that, you know, goes to UT and is on the volleyball team. Like that's probably going to fade a lot faster. But anyways, forgot how we got here. 813-90-BUBBA. Oh, John Costeca, 1999 on the Super Chat. Thank you so much. God, I really want to know where I was going with the age deal, but we'll take a call. Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Joe the Supermarket, still fasting.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. How are you feeling?
I'm getting better by the second. I found out that with less food intake, you also produce less waste. So that's beneficial.
Yeah, you'll shit less. That'll throw you off, especially if you're used to going to the bathroom every day like I was. Sometimes it'll go a day. Like sometimes it's like 2 days a week or maybe even three where I don't poop the whole day. And at first that used to be alarming. But much like you said, you're consuming less. So it's going to be a little less predictable, I would say, your bowel.
And then, like what Bubba's doing, where now you just wait until you absolutely have to go. They don't have to force it, and it all just falls out nice and easy.
Yes,
and isn't
yeah.
That wonderful? But that's not why I called. I actually called because, number one, I just want to say your incessant ranting sounds like what's in my brain all day long.
Yeah.
Just constant topic to topic to topic, just flowing,
right.
flowing, flowing.
Very stream of
and
consciousness.
I love it, and it's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And so along this, I have a comment on the college deal. I have a comment, but I just want to comment on what you were just saying.
Yeah.
I worked in a liquor store from 14 years old, worked at the reception center. 18, I could bring the register. 21, I became the manager.
Right.
And I got out of that business at 30. And I honestly thought at 30, now this whole time, I was with one girl from like 17 to 30. And for 13 years, we were together. One same old girl. And I honestly thought at 30 I was done. I would never meet another girl. I
really?
Would never have any other opportunities. And all the while, all the only thing I wanted was a Puerto Rican girl. That's all I wanted so much. So then in 2011, my girlfriend of forever finally decided to move back to Michigan, Detroit, with her family. And I just started meeting hot girls.
Yeah.
Once I got into Kirby, once I started selling vacuums.
Yeah.
And I would literally get every single hot 20, 21-year-old girl. And, yeah, everyone thinks that I had to pay him or ply him with drugs. They didn't even know I had drugs or money.
And you had both.
All I had was confidence at first.
Yep.
The confidence enough to go and talk to them.
Yep. And that's more than most, because a lot of men don't even try, so.
Right, and I hear so many compliments, and I always ask girls, what's your favorite thing about me? And I always think they're going to say my beautiful blue eyes. I'm fishing for that compliment.
Yeah.
But they say, oh, my God, your presence. It's like when you walk in a room, it's like God walked in a room, or your hands. You have such nice hands.
You ask women, what's your favorite thing about me?
Fuck yeah.
That's balls.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Hey, like on the first date, or you know, you've been dating them?
No. Once time has gone on,
okay,
and I realize that they're smitten with me.
Gotcha. All right.
I just want to know. Like, it's to me, it's more of just like let me put on my white lab coat for a second.
I got you.
Figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. Hey, that's awesome. Just cutting to the chase. Not beating around the bush.
And then as far as college goes, if you don't mind me mentioning that, I never had time for it. I was too busy working, and I didn't want to pay for it. So I didn't go, but lo and behold, by 35, I was owning and operating my own business. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not such a bad thing not to go to college.
No, a lot of people are ahead of the game because they have, a lot of times when you apply for jobs after college, they want work experience. And guess what you have? None of that. So they want someone who's maybe been working for 7 years, and that's the person who went to high school, got their GED or their high school diploma, and then got a job, and they're getting promoted to manager, while me, you know, I got to start at bottom level, Willie, because I got no job experience, but I do have a degree in art history, which is useless.
And that's why you can work for someone else to make their dreams come true, or you can work for yourself to make your own dreams come true. It's your option.
There you go.
My grand finale question, Anna.
Yeah.
Everyone's been asking about Blitz. How's Blitz? Where's Blitz? Where's Blitz? I want to know about you, because I'm watching you, and I want to know how you are. I want to know how you feel in the studio without him to bounce off of, or without being able to see him during the commercial breaks. How's your attitude? How are you being affected? Are you being affected at all?
Yeah, of course I'm being affected, and of course I miss him, and of course I want him to be here like a lot of the listeners do as well. But I am also I'm also pretty good at accepting what is. So if there's a situation, hoping and wishing it was different, you know, it doesn't really get you very far. So I go, okay, once I, you know, learned what you guys learned, that he wasn't going to be working here anymore, I go, yeah, that really sucks. And it took a couple days to kind of process and accept. But then once you accept that, you go, okay, well, how do I become successful with this new arrangement? And I think that's kind of like what we all have had to do, and especially Rhett and Lummy, who've had to, you know, and Mini Mach, yeah, but Lummy and Rhett had to absorb a lot of Blitz's responsibilities, and they've been doing great with it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, they could be, you know, dragging their feet and going, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this and that. And you also really appreciate the person once they're not there anymore, because you're like, fuck, you were doing all of this shit? Like, goddamn, you know, I have to absorb a few more tasks, and Lummy does, and Rhett does. And so you certainly appreciate someone and feel them when they're not there. But you know, after a few days of processing, like, man, this is different, this sucks, you go, okay, I mean, it is what it is, and how do we move forward? So I think that's kind of my, how I apply a lot of things in my life, where it's like, okay, what is it? We could wish all day what we wish it could be, or, you know, what it could be, or what it was, but what is it? And then from there, you just kind of, you know, execute.
Right. I always see leaders focus on solutions and the other people let them focus on the problems, problems all the time.
Right, right.
I'm going to say, here's our solution. And God just told me to tell you, I know you don't believe in them.
That's fine.
But God just told me to tell you that maybe Blitz not being there and you being there doing your thing, maybe now when you get to come together again, like at the in the afternoon or the evening, whenever you see them,
yeah.
Isn't that so much better?
I mean, yeah, certainly distance makes the heart grow fonder. I still see him like almost every day, which is fantastic. But you're right. It is this like added level of excitement when I haven't seen him all day and it's like, oh, there he is. It's awesome. So, yeah, yeah, that's definitely a silver lining is that it makes the time that we do have together more special for sure. So,
well, I know Blitz ribbed me a lot and I always loved him because he always said what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So anytime there was a topic, I never had to call because he already said what
he already got it. He already had it handled. Yeah. That's my man.
I love him.
That's my man.
I love him, and I know you love him. And
yep.
We wish him nothing but the best. And
thank you
for killing it. This is your second show, and it seems like you've been doing this 100 years.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, truly.
God bless.
All right. God bless. Love saying God bless. I'm stealing. I know that's been around a while. That's been around for a while as well, but I'm taking it as my own. I had to write down my stream of consciousness of how I got to hot chicks and stuff because that stuff bothers me. I'm like, how did we get here? But basically, kind of backtracking, I was talking about anomalies and how it makes me want to study people and how I used to do this when I was in Michigan at the coffee shops. And it was at those coffee shops that I started to appreciate the small things. And that's how I got to that point. And that's also how I want to end the show. Brian from Philly, another $5 on the Super Chat. I'm sorry I lost you, Brian. Even though you did forewarn me and say you were about to lose cell service. So I appreciate the warning. Appreciate the small things. Feel like, in lieu of Jerry Springer's death, let me leave you with a final thought. Appreciate the small things because those are the things that really add up, really matter. You know, you think about the grand gestures in your life and those are great. You know, that time you went to fucking Aruba or, you know, the guy bought you a new car, whatever the case may be. But it's really the day-to-day things that you should be appreciating and looking forward to those little blissful moments. So appreciate what you have. Don't commiserate on the things you once did have or the things that you want. It's certainly good to try to improve yourself and get to those places, but in the process, make sure you're appreciative of what you have. Because you got to think there's a lot of people out there that would happily trade places with you, even though that you think that your life sucks in the moment, or maybe you lost your job, or you got fat, or whatever, but there are millions and millions of people that would instantly trade places with you in your life and have your problems. So, you know, think about that over the weekend. Brian Favilli, another $10. You guys are the best. Making that money. Not for me, but for the company. And I appreciate that because Bubba gives me an attaboy or an attagirl or an attababy. And that makes me feel good. So thank you guys for listening to my ramblings. Have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you on Monday morning. Goodbye.